Well, we reach the time of year where we come together to consider Christ, and no better time, of course, than what we were doing here last night at 6 and at 11 o'clock. Full marks to those of you who have come back from the 11 o'clock service. And also, of course, Christmas Day today, the 25th of December. It does really provide us with a golden opportunity to talk about Christ, to sing of Christ, to give him our thanks, to hear the news about him and to respond. So if this is your first time with us here this morning, visiting here at St. Stephen's, we are delighted you are here with us. And for those who are regulars, it's great to see you here at Christmas. It is a special time. It's a great time to be together like this. In your handout, you will see that a heading, Consider Christ This Christmas. And as a church, over the December Sundays, we've been looking at John's prologue, looking at the person of Jesus as John describes it. And if you are familiar with the Gospel of John, you'll note that John doesn't talk about wise men. He doesn't mention Mary and Joseph. John doesn't mention the shepherds, startled by light and running to the manger. He doesn't mention any of that. And that is not his purpose in writing his account. John's Christmas story really is just four words. The Word became flesh. Well, that's it. I might as well go and sit down. No, don't say. The Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus Christ. That's what John wants us to know. The Word, what John wants us to know, is God. Became flesh and entered our world. If we were event organisers and trying to sort of organise things about this, we would never do it this way. We wouldn't have Jesus turning up at a stable. We would probably have him turning up at a palace. We'd never let a bunch of low-life, stinking shepherds sort of get the inside information and, race over to the stable. We'd never let Jesus be born into the family of a carpenter. Forgive me if you are a carpenter, but we wouldn't do that. And then we would never let Christ be cursed and never let him be mocked. We would never let him be spat on and never let him be crucified. So it is a good thing that we're not running the show. John wants us to know something so remarkable took place. The Word became flesh. And for a start, that is so humbling in itself. The Word by whom and through whom and for whom everything exists, visible and invisible, who is God, John tells us, became a human being, went through all the stages from a female ovum, generating a human zygote, an embryo, and at the same time fully God, fully man, fully human, then born, grew, lived, and died. Make no mistake, God is humbling himself as Jesus is born of Mary, as Jesus, the Word made flesh, lives on this earth. Jesus didn't say one morning as he woke up to his father, look, this is as far as I'm going. I'm not going any further than this. He didn't say that when his opponents treated him so shamefully, look, I'm not going to take this anymore. There's enough humiliation here. That's it. He went all the way, humbling himself to death on the cross, saying, Father, if you want me to pay the penalty for sin of the world, I'll do that. Our sin must be very serious to God, wouldn't you say? And our need for a Saviour from our sin so necessary. A Saviour who is God and human, bearing our sin in his death. Christmas is so remarkable. Remarkable when you think and consider that he, Jesus, the bread of life, knew hunger. When he, Jesus, the fountain of life, was thirsty. That he, Jesus, the light of life, was tired. Christmas is so remarkable when you think that Jesus, the way, was wearied on the journey. That Jesus, the truth, was accused by false witnesses. That the judge of the living and the dead would be brought before a human judge. That he who is pure justice would be condemned by the unjust. Christmas is so remarkable when you consider that he who is eternal security was wounded. And the foundation of everything was suspended on a cross. He, the life, would die. Yes, make no mistake, this is our God who humbles himself to save wretches like us. And so we have reached this time to consider Christ this Christmas. And in John 1 verse 18, we read these words. It says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." I just want to bring out to you three reasons from this verse why we should give serious consideration to Christ this Christmas. And the first is because of Christ's unique nature. He is the only, one and only God. You and I can't see God. This is sometimes used as an excuse why people won't believe. There's a kid in the scripture class who tells his teacher, "You ever seen God?" And the teacher replied, "Well, I may have if I'd lived about 2,000 years ago." And the teacher thought that some of the kids reckoned he may have qualified. But the astonishing claim is that if we had been on time, we would have seen God. The Word that was with God, that the Word was God, became flesh, leaving footprints on the earth, seeing the sun and the stars that he put there, feeling the wind against his face, experiencing real sadness, and shedding real tears. This one is God, the one and only, the one we saw, says John, all the attributes of God found in the person of Jesus. John isn't questioning that. No one has ever seen God, but everything about God, who he is and what he said, John said and saw in Jesus Christ. He writes so that you and I might believe it. So Christ's unique nature, God and man. And a second reason to give serious consideration to Christ this Christmas is because of Christ's unique place. You see it there again in verse 18. God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side. As the Word was always with God from the beginning, so the Son of God was always and has always been with the Father. In a unique place, in the place of greatest intimacy, in the place of greatest delight, in the place of greatest knowledge, the place where only he knows about God. And so he is perfectly qualified to say, no one knows the Father except the Son. He knows God. He knows what heaven is like. He knows the eternal plan of God about a Saviour who would come into the world to be born, about a Saviour who would die on the cross as that perfect, spotless lamb for our sin, who would rise again, who would be glorified to God's right hand, and who would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to adopt us as his children. Because of his unique place, Jesus Christ is perfectly qualified to tell you who God is and what he is like. So give serious consideration to Christ this Christmas because of Christ's unique nature and because of Christ's unique place at the very bosom of the Father. And then from 1 John 1:18, we read Christ's unique ministry. God, the one and only at the Father's side, has made him known. No one else. Nowhere else. No other sincere, devout religion. No other spiritual path can bring us to know God. Only Jesus, the one and only. Only he expounds for us God, the Word. Only this one, said John, sets God before us. You cannot know God without the Son. And Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son reveals him. Seriously consider Christ this Christmas because of his unique ministry, revealing God to us. How should we then respond to this? There is nothing more essential for our lives than to know God. All human beings, we all have this deep longing of the soul. Sometimes people turn to things in temples, to shrines in holy places. Sometimes there are gurus to turn to, or clairvoyants, astrologists. You can even read the tea leaves. We were created to know God. And Christmas offers for the hungry, empty soul everlasting satisfaction from the one and only God. There's a story that you may have heard of a father living in Spain, and the relationship with a teenage son of his became particularly strained, so much so to the point that the son ran away from home. His father began this journey to searching for his rebellious son. And after some time, finally in Madrid, in a last desperate effort to find his son, the father put an ad in the newspaper. It said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. They all wanted to come home. And at Christmas time, we remember our Heavenly Father has sent for us to bring us back to him. And he searches for us. He journeys to a faraway country. God the Son made a real home among us that we might have a true home with him. And the offer is there. Let his Son bring you home. No matter how far you feel away from God, or out of touch with him, or distant from his love. However strange that seems to you, no matter what you've done, and no matter what you've become, the most wonderful news is God says, "I still love you. Please come home." God forgives. And the Bible tells us to all who receive Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. What a wonderful promise of acceptance this is. For those trusting in Jesus Christ, no longer are we distant from God. We are included into the very heart of God. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. God searching for rebels and making the announcement to the world, come home. Consider Christ this Christmas. He's not just a nice man. He's not just the baby. He's not just a good teacher. Not just some noble religious leader to admire. He's God. Consider him, Christ, unique in his nature, unique in his place and in his ministry. Receive and believe in his name. To know him is to know God. And to know God is life itself. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Many of us have already considered Christ, and we are following him this Christmas. For those of us here today who are believers, you might want to give thanks to your Heavenly Father for making you his child. And please be praying now. I want to lead us in prayer, asking God for those who know that they need to come home and receive God's offer of forgiveness found in his Son Jesus. If that is you this morning, please make this prayer your own. I am sorry, God, that I have neglected you and lived life distant from you. Thank you for sending Jesus to make yourself fully known. Please forgive my neglect of you, my Maker, and accept me into your family. Please enable me to live as your child. Amen. Well, coming to God is like joining a huge family. It's a reason for great celebration. The truth is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For those of you who may have prayed that prayer, I wonder whether you might do three things for me. There are copies of John's account, and they look like this. You'll find them in the foyer. Please take this as a gift from me to you, and please read it. It's John's account, or his version of events, describing the life of Jesus, what he came to do, who he is, so that you might believe. Please take that as you leave this morning. The second thing I wonder if you might consider is joining us, as we have already heard, in our Life of Jesus course, which begins on Monday, the 28th of December, and will be running through January. I wonder whether you might consider that. Let Richard or myself know and be part of a great group that will be starting soon. And the third thing I was wondering is that we do have a clipboard at the back. We'd love to get your details to be in touch with you after Christmas. So be of help in whatever way we can to find out more about living God's way. Please, if you'd like to provide those details, we'll be in touch. Thank you.